gentlemen.
This is the Rocky Ball from Mighty Ball.
This episode, Trap Gambino.
Yeah. So we'll get right into it. Trap Gambino, welcome to Fight Chase, Muay Thai, and MMA podcast. Let's get into it, man.
Going now?
Yeah, we're going. We're doing this.
PG-13.
Nah, hell no. We have no agenda, man. You can swear. I didn't say anything racist because we'll get canceled, and then we'll have to like pirate this shit and put it up. So, no, it's all good. Whatever you want to do. So anyway, let's get right into it, man. So typically what we ask our athletes is like how their martial arts journey began. So let's like you're aspiring to get there. So how did you get the bug? Like, because I'm going to be honest, I've looked who Trap Gambino is and you're all over the place.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying if you're offended by anything I say, yo, call me out. Like, feel free. I'm not trying to be offensive or anything like that. You know what I mean? So when I looked up Trap Gambino, I saw a video game streamer, a rapper, a guy that was in the gym putting out training videos, like McGregor-esque type of trying to be the hype machine type of thing. So like, let's start with that. Who is Trap Gambino and, like, who is the real guy? You told me, like, when I hit you up, you know, I'm not trying to blow up your spot, but you were like, hey, I'm a family guy. The shit that I do is for promotion. You've put that out there on other platforms also.
Absolutely. Most of the stuff I do is for promotion, but it is really me, you know. It's not like CGI.
Of course. No, yeah.
But I guess how I started was I was back in Ohio, and I was, like, 465 pounds, and I just wanted to lose weight because I had my first daughter on the way, and I just started hitting the bag in my living room, and at first it would, you know, last like 30 seconds, and I would die that day, but I would post the video up, and then the next week it would be 60 seconds, and then I would keep going and going, and then the more I post these videos up, the more clout I started to get. People started following my journey. I was losing weight and stuff like that. And I started getting people that doubted me and starting to hate on me. And I think that's really where I got the bug to fight, because I never really had the motivation to fight. I never really wanted to be a fighter until somebody told me I couldn't be a fighter. And then that's really all I wanted to be.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I competed a lot of jiu-jitsu, and when I started competing jiu-jitsu, I had a friend of ours that was like, you know, he went to Pan Ams, and he's like, you could be a world champion. That wasn't in my mindset, but it's kind of the opposite what you had. And he's like, you could be a world champion. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, nah, I'm not even like that. And we went through the process. Kurt was there with me every day. We were grinding. I became a world champion of jiu-jitsu at Worlds.
Oh, congratulations.
And it was like, thank you, man. It was like, but it was that process. You know what I mean? I had a good group of people behind me, but I've also been driven by bad shit. You know, like I said, I had a custom car business in Las Vegas. I dealt with Las Vegas, a Lamborghini. I dealt with so many high-end customers that would call me up and go, hey, I just bought a new Lamborghini. I haven't seen it yet. Can you go pick it up? Hey, my Ferrari needs an oil change. Can you go do this? And I would go do that. I came from working for other people that sucked, that were living the Vegas lifestyle, that were like out partying every night, that were not paying any of the bills. And all's in my mindset, I'm like, I could do this. Why the hell am I working for them? So they screwed me over, and me and a buddy of mine started our own business from nothing.
Right.
But that was it. It was like those people were telling me basically, yo, we're the boss. We're the playboys. You know, you can't do this. And I'm like, fuck you, I can't do it.
It wasn't like all negativity, but that was my most driving force. Obviously my kids were behind it too. Like I want to show them that you can prove people wrong. And mm-hmm. when somebody tells you you can't do something, you know, you can show them that you're going to do it. So I started just training to fight, and I had a few like boxing smokers and stuff like that, some stuff behind, like in the gym and stuff. And mm-hmm. I had a lot of sparring behind me, and I did two jiu-jitsu competitions, and I'm working my way up to an MMA fight. I had one set up, and eventually that fell through, and that was for Rise, and that's who I'm going to fight for again, hopefully, so in May.
So the MMA thing, obviously your wife has fought for Jeff. Jeff's actually a friend of mine.
Yes.
He's a friend of mine. We had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your wife fought for him. She's more accomplished in MMA than you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Technically, yeah. I mean, she's fought, yeah.
But I'm saying, so is far, right. she's a fighter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what I see from what, like, the interviews, I don't look at the interviews from, like, you know, the Dr. Phil type shit to where, you know, you got this guy just up there judging you and that type of thing. And I watch your Instagram, and I watch, like, the chemistry that you have family-wise. And I could see that. And so how does her being able to accomplish things, is that inspiring you? Are you like, a team together to do these things?
If you want to be totally realistic, the reason she accomplished those things is because of me. Mm-hmm. I was her main trainer. I was I'm the mastermind behind all that shit. I was her main coach. I took her to every gym that I wanted. If she was missing something, if something that I couldn't do, something that I'm, because I'm, I, you can coach somebody and not know a lot of things. Like, I can tell her, like, you know, do this and do that. I watch stuff and I know it more than I can perform it, if you know what I mean. And I like to break stuff down. And the shit that I didn't have for her, I would send her to other gyms, like wrestling gyms and stuff like that. They would add stuff to her game. She would come back, and we would break it down together. And we worked together on most of that, man, through both the ACL surgeries. I'm the one who helped her rehab on those and brought her back to professional boxing after that. And I feel like a lot of my dreams, I kind of lived through her, and now it's my time, man.
Did you feel like you just, that was the easier avenue? I understand what you're saying. Like I've been able to break things down that I haven't been able to do.
Right.
I'm a Muay Thai coach also. Typically, I learn more coaching. Obviously, I know it. Like, I've learned it. But then when I break it down to someone else, I actually learn it even better. I learned it a lot clearer when you have to simplify it. So, like, did you find that was kind of the avenue that was, I would say, the path of least resistance? Because for you to get to that point, you still have a lot of hurdles to get there, right? Like, for you to get into to fight shape, you still have to get there, right? And was she closer or easier to get there, or
not really, man? It was kind of, we kind of did it together, really. Like, I'm in more fight shape than people would think, honestly. In May, all those questions will be answered. How good in shape I am. Mm-hmm. I'm really solid, man. Believe it or not, I'm 360 right now, and I've been working hard, man. I've been working really hard. I still got a long way to go. My next step is, you know, 350, then 325, then 300, and my coaches want to get me all the way down to 200. I'm eating cleaner than my coaches are now, man, and I'm really taking this more serious than anything. And it wasn't really easier, but I guess to a point, self-consciously, maybe I was afraid to do it, and maybe that's why I put it on her first. But it was also, at the same time, it was also her dreams. So I'm pushing her dreams, but I'm pushing mine, on her. Mm-hmm. And it worked out, man. It worked out really well for both of us. But now she knows that, you know, it's time to be mom, and it's time for me to fight.
I'm going to tell you this. So a personal, really good friend of ours, of mine, of Kurt's, training partner, teammate, Khalil Roundtree Jr., he was over 300 before he started training. He's in the UFC. He's fighting in the UFC all the time. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. He's a killer. So it's not like it can't happen.
Absolutely.
And I watched you train Just the clips that I saw, it's not horrible. Like, you have gas, you keep hitting the pads. You know, we all get tired. I get it. Like, you probably right now have more training than I have. I've gone through some shit over this fucking COVID thing, and, you know, my training fell off and things like that. So I admire that you're doing that and you keep going, and that's a really good thing. And now, you know, you've done these steps to the MMA side that, you like you said, you started to have doubters and things like that, and then that's kind of, it's weird, kind of like, what if you look up who you are, these trolls get attached to you. And it's, so I went through your Instagram and I was looking at a few things, and you know what's funny is I don't research most of our guests, and I didn't really research you. I kind of just wanted to see like how the story goes.
Yeah.
And I looked at your messages, and the people that are talking shit have like private accounts, and yeah. It's like those kind of things. When I watch Dr. Phil and he's like, you need to turn off that. It's easy for someone to say when somebody talks shit to you, if you're a passive person, that you just turn it off. There's people in this world that are not passive. I don't know you personally. That may be a trigger to you to be like, fuck me, fuck you. If someone says fuck me, I go, huh.
It definitely like when the trolling first started, I totally fell into it. I didn't have any fans or any followers or anything like that. So I mean, all I had was trolls, so I totally just fell into it. I thought these guys were fans. Yeah. And it made it worse and worse. The trolling all started was because I defended this. They were all making fun of this handicapped guy. And I said this on the Dr. Phil show, too. They cut this completely out. They cut a lot of things out.
Oh, I know a lot about editing of TV shows. But,
I defended that. There was this group page. I'm not going to mention the name of it. But they were all, like, bagging on this handicapped fighter that went in there. And he tried to fight, and obviously he didn't do so well. And they were calling him, you know, the R word and stupid and all this stuff. And I went on there, and I was commenting, like, hey, you know, at least he's in there, you know, doing it. They go and they look at my public page that, you know, they see a fat guy hitting the bag. They're like, oh, wannabe fighter. And that's where it piled on from there. And like ever since then, I've had this fucking like moniker as a wannabe fighter. And I guess half of it's true because I do want to be a fighter, but I've never pretended to be a fighter. I've never said I was like the best fighter. I've never even said I was a fighter.
Right.
I tell people that, you know, I'm training to fight. I've competed in jiu-jitsu a couple times. My wife's fought. I've coached and cornered grappling and MMA fights. I have some experience outside the cage, but none inside the cage. You know, I've boxed a little bit. I've sparred a lot and trained a lot. But yeah, I've never pretended to be anything that I'm not. And that's something that's like attached to my name now that I'm hoping in May, as soon as I fight, you know, win or lose, that's going to go away. Cause what are you going to say when I get in there and I fight? You can't call me a fake fighter anymore.
The guys that, and I've actually had, I won't name names. I've had friends that when you're hanging out, especially in Vegas, and they'll be like, you're hanging out with like the fight team and they're, oh yeah, I'm a fighter to someone. I'm like, motherfucker, you've never fought. Right. What are you talking about? And that is a wannabe fighter. Now, an aspiring fighter is going through the steps. You know, it may be 5 years off, but you're trying to get there. You have the goal of being a fighter.
You know, another problem of mine is I get these fans, and these fans, like, I love them to death, and they follow me and everything like that, but they'll write on my story, like, you're the champion of the world, you're going to knock them all out, and, like, because of that, people think that that's me, you know what I mean? Like, that's me presenting that, and it's really not. Like, I'm pretty humble in real life. Like, I'm the furthest thing from that.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I get that. Like, as soon as I hit you up, and I was, and it was a comment about, like, trying to get you on it, and the time. And I said, yo, I seen your profile. I know Vegas. You know, it might be too early for you. And you're like, no, man, that's what I do to, you know, for Instagram.
I live on the strip. I live in the hood on the strip. I drove across the fucking city over to here to fucking Summerlin to do this interview with some good Wi-Fi.
I get it, man. And like I said, you know, hats off to you for just keep going. It feeds in, unfortunately. And like you were saying with the haters and them being tied to you, I get it. Because Kurt and I put out what I feel is great content. We try to get to know fighters. We try to do a different point of view of talking to people and getting to know the real people. And if I see, like, on one of our YouTube videos, like, a fucking, you know, the unlike or whatever the fuck it is, I'm like, what the fuck did we do?
Yeah. It'll make tons of fake, like, I got so many fake profiles that pretend to be me, and they'll hit up other people, and they'll, you know, talk shit to my friends as if they're me. And then I've had a lot of friends turn their back on me because of these guys and because of how crazy these trolls are. Like, you know, like I said on the Dr. Phil show, they've called and got me kicked out of restaurants, gyms, and all kinds of shit. But, you know, I'm kind of past all that, really. I'm kind of past all the trolling because, you know, when they comment, I just ignore it. I kind of just leave it up there nowadays.
Don't you think those trolls help you out a little bit sometimes, though? Like, because they get more eyes on you at the end of the day, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. To be real, the Dr. Phil show is half real and half not. Obviously, it's TV. And I kind of use the trolls to get on the Dr. Phil show. Like, the trolls really, at this point in my life, they used to. At this point in my life, they really don't affect me that much. But I acted like they did to get on the show. And a lot. But I just didn't realize they were going to edit the show the way that they did, man. Like, I knew what I was getting into, like, TV. It's Dr. Phil. He's going to bitch at you. He's going to say, you're the reason that you have problems, you know. I know how the format goes. I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew I had to eat some dick to get on that show and get some clout.
Right.
So I did that, but I didn't know that they were going to edit it to the point where it literally made me look like a fucking bad person. Like, when I left the show, I was kind of happy. Like, man, I left a good impression on the world and shit. Yeah. And then I seen the show and I was like, oh my God.
I mean, it kind of, to me, I just watched it, so it's kind of fresh. And it kind of just looked like they were just getting on you. Like it seemed like he was just coming off like, why are you trying to be this guy? And I'm like, motherfucker, have you ever been to Vegas?
Yeah, well, like, it's crazy, man. Like, he was like, you're wearing bling, and that's telling people you're rich. And I'm like, dude, this is like a $40 watch. I'm not telling people I'm rich. But I was the part that they cut out that I want to say on this interview that I'm really sad that they cut out. And my wife was there with me. They also made sure to cut out every part of her being pregnant and stuff, which is really, really weird. Yeah. But it's the sympathy factor, you know. But one part that they cut out was he said that I was delusional. And you've seen that in the big commercial. That was the big segment and stuff. I was delusional. And he said, it's because I'm wearing bling and I'm telling people I'm rich and I'm living in Vegas. I'm telling people I moved to the big city. I made it. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
And I'm big time. And I told that there was a really important part where the fans started clapping and everything. I told Dr. Phil, I said, some people move from a fucking trailer to an apartment, and that's big time to them. Yeah. I went from small town Worcester, Ohio. I moved to Las Vegas, the city of dreams. Yeah, I live in a bad area, but, like, I have a beautiful family. I have two beautiful kids. I have a wife. You know, this is big time to me. And all you seen was, this is big time to me. So they cut out everything. So, like, what you see is, like, it looks like I'm pointing at, like, me in the limo and shit. Mm-hmm. And then just, I was like, man, that literally just, it took out all the context. You know, it was crazy, but that's television. That's Hollywood.
I know exactly how that works. I mean, obviously this isn't the same thing, but when I had my shop, we did all the audio and electronics for counting cars. So we would do all of their cars, and they would bring us cars in the middle of the night. So, you know, obviously because they're filming the show, they didn't want people seeing the cars being transported and things like that. So like 4 o'clock in the morning, they would drop off a car at my shop. And I had to communicate with the actual owner of the cars. And then it basically, because what we were doing was preferred by the owner. So we would do these things, and then they would ship the car back over to Counts Customs, and they would do that stuff. And they would finish the cars. And then we'd see the episodes. And so we're watching an episode, and I'm like, what the hell happened? And
right?
They're driving this Charger, the 69 Charger. They're driving it, and it's all primered and beat up looking. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I had asked the customer, I'm like, did they do anything? What did they do to your car? And he goes, oh, I just needed fuel injection added to the motor. But the paint was immaculate. The interior was immaculate. We put, like, tracking system, sound system in it. And I'm like, so they didn't paint your car? He's like, no, it's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, it was beautiful when it came to us. But on the show, they wrapped the whole car primer and made it look like it was rusting. And then when you watch the show again, you can see, like, little parts that, like, the wrap wasn't really good. So you're like, oh, okay. And then you kind of start to understand, like, the different things that happened. We did, like, Bob Marley's last car that I believe it was Damien got, and we did the full sound system for that.
Yeah. And
that car was back at our upholsterer's not too long later because they did, this probably might get us heat somewhere, they did hemp interior, and then he hated it because it looked like burlap. And he wanted leather in this Mercedes. And
that's,
he's like,
funny.
So they, like, they don't.
That makes sense, though. You know, it makes sense.
But that's, it's like, funny. Those type of things, you know, those plays on people. The same thing with, like, we've had friends on The Ultimate Fighter, and they go, that's not what happened. I just had Mark Matthews, who was on Ink Master. He was on, and he was an MMA fighter that went over and was on Ink Master. And I remember seeing his episode, and I'm like, yo, that guy was talking mad trash to you, and he said he was going to choke you out. And when I had met him, was at Vanderlei's gym, and he told me, he's like, we weren't even in the same fucking room when those two things happened.
So I don't know if you guys know that I actually trained at Vanderlei's gym for like a good like 4 months.
Mm.
You know, Shownuff. So shout out to Shownuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my head coach right there, man. So you know.
Okay. We did me and a couple of the other guys with him did a movie. We did a fight scene in a movie.
That's where I met him in a film. We did a film together too. That's where we first met.
Yeah, we did a fight scene in like some backyard, like it was at a bar, leaving Vegas, and it was like some pit fighting scene, and me and one of the other guys, one of the other fighters, did a scene, and then he did a scene with one of the other jiu-jitsu guys. And so that was like, we had never done movies, and we're like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. Like, yeah. the first thing that happens, I'm bleeding for real, and they're like, you can't do that. We're like, we don't really know how to pull punches, you know.
That's funny. Yeah, I did my, speaking of pulling punches, I did my first pro wrestling yesterday.
I was going to ask you about that, because you're persona, and it's so big, like, for you to fit into the MMA community, you're gonna be like you're on the outside edge of what the mass of the community is. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, for
so
sure.
you're gonna be,
I'm like the CM Punk Jake Paul type era, like, yeah, yeah. I definitely, like, it's a gimmick fight at first.
Right, and you just have to prove yourself. That's just how it goes. But it's like, when I saw and I started looking into this, we have a good friend, Dave Mazzani. He's a professional wrestler. His sister, Gina, who's in the UFC, she's a professional wrestler. They wrestle together.
Professional wrestler.
So it's like, that's okay. That's real shit. Like, that's real, like... And when I saw you do it, because I thought about this like a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, I wonder if he would look into that, because it's another thing where you can play up everything that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so I've been doing jiu-jitsu and boxing for a while now. Nothing compared to pro wrestling. These guys are fucking insane. I'm in there. They're like, the first thing I'm doing is like falling flat on my back, throwing my feet up in the air, and like feel like I'm giving myself a fucking concussion. These guys. picking each other up, throwing them off the top ropes. And I'm like, dude, what you guys do, I have a whole new respect for what they do. I my back has got pinches all over it from the ropes. I am sore. They beat the shit out of me, dude.
Yeah,
that was something I always wanted to do, but I will never, ever, ever be a pro wrestler. Ever.
I have one of the kids I train with out here in New Hampshire right now that I was training him. He's a pro wrestler, and he got Julian Starr. He got pretty popular on the local circuit, and that it was pretty cool because I grew up watching wrestling because there wasn't MMA when I grew up.
I'm a 90s kid, so I was the attitude man. And all that, but as far as taking those bumps, man, like I still have a headache today. So
I'm sure. So let's go back to, like I said, I looked up who Trap Gambino is, and I saw video game streaming. What the hell's the deal with that? Is that just something that you did at some point, or
that was just, I don't even remember how old that is, honestly.
It's old. Yeah, I know.
It was just I just love video games, and you know, I guess I'm an entertainer, so I was trying to do any little YouTube thing at one point and see if it caught, and that definitely didn't, so I stopped. Maybe one day.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say maybe one day it will. I plan on expanding my YouTube and doing all that stuff later, but
you know what? Fuck those guys. They make so much money. My little nephews watch those guys, and they're millionaires, and they're playing fucking Roblox in their 40s.
It's insane. Like, yeah, it's a hell of a gig, man. But I just don't. I don't know if I have that much time, to be honest. Plus, I want to get some training and some fighting in, you know. So
yeah. And so then another thing, I guess maybe the next step. I don't know how chronologically this went, but like you started rapping, and there was. Like, you really didn't seem like you found where you were in rap, because there was some, like, booty ghetto rap, and it's kind of progressed, you know what I mean? Like, so, what is the rap to you? Is that something that you love, well, or honestly, is that something that, you know, what's the deal with that?
This is something that people might not know, but that's what I started out as. When I was like 12 years old, I started rapping, I guess. I hate calling myself a rapper because every little kid in his mom's basement with a computer is a rapper, you know what I mean? And when you say all over the place, you're right, man. That's what I mean when I hate calling myself a rapper, is because I kind of just like doing music, you know? Believe it or not, there's a rock song out there that I did, and there's a country song out there too, which I hope you guys never find.
I'm looking now. That's going to be the intro to this.
My mom's about to send it to you now. Watch. And, yeah, man, so I kind of just like doing music, and the new song, I just dropped a new music video that's called Villain. It's on YouTube if you guys want to look that up. And you're right, it was all booty, ghetto, guns, all that stuff, and I did that on purpose. Yeah. And that was really just to kind of bring in, like, you know, the masses. Mm-hmm. And the masses, for the most part, they eat shit, man, so sometimes you gotta feed them shit to bring them in. And then once
that's kind of like the whole thing that I was, you know, kind of watching, you know, evolve, was like, you're looking to, from me to the outside, like I said, I don't know you personally. It's like you're looking for what attracts the most attention. And I get it. Like owning a business, starting my own, you know, my apparel line with Fight Chase, all of that stuff. It's similar to when I put out a new design. I have I know you're kind of fluent in the pornographic arts. I have a I have a design that is it's a rip of the Chatterbait design.
Okay.
It's a Fight Chase, but it's literally, if you looked at it, you'd,
that's cool.
But people catch it, right? So it's kind of those things, you know, like I put something out and just see which audience it will attract. And it brings it back to what I'm doing, but it kind of is like, all right, maybe they didn't notice. They saw something cool, and they're like, what is this? You know, and I feel like that's kind of what you're doing, because obviously someplace there's a real person.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'd have to disagree with that about me, because it really is genuine, man. Like, I don't just be like, maybe I'm going to try pro wrestling one day. Like, literally, these guys will come to me. Like, the whole LFC thing, the whole lingerie fighting championship thing.
Yeah, that too.
These guys reached out to me. And the whole rapping thing is something that was just a passion and something that I've – that really is a passion. Rapping and martial arts is a passion. The acting thing is the only thing I would say that's fake, ironically, acting fake. But when it comes to acting, I fucking hate acting. I hate reaching out to gigs. A lot of those pictures that they showed on Dr. Phil, and a lot of those pictures that you guys see on my Instagram of me with, in like jacuzzi suites and all that stuff, a lot of that is actually from movies, and like it's like screenshots from movies and shit, which is funny that, you know, Dr. Phil used some of those to talk bad about me, but it's crazy, man. Like, I just feel like a lot of it really is me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just so crazy that people just don't know how to accept it. But like, if you live around me, and like, if you was one of my friends and stuff, you'd really see, like, I do really live like this. Like, I do crazy shit all the time, and I am not all there. Like, I, you know, like, I'm that guy, man. I don't know.
I guess something like, how much thought do you put into this? Like, say you're gonna post up something on Instagram, do you just like, comes off the top of your head, you're like, fucking, I'm gonna do this? Or are you like, do you put some thought into it, like how people are gonna perceive it, and like how are they gonna like it? Or you're just like, fuck it?
That's what I mean, man. Like, it's so crazy to everybody else, but to me, it's like, I don't know. It's just like life, I guess. I just post it up, and I think it looks cool, and I'll post it up. Like today, I was going to post up a picture of me in a jacuzzi eating, like, some pizza and shit. And like, I was going to be, like, training hard for my fight, you know? just trolling a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
But what's up?
Just to let you know, I didn't eat the pizza. I had Chipotle that day, so.
But like, I mean, that's good promotion, though. You know what I mean? Because you know, people are going to be talking shit, but like, all those people talking shit are still bringing in, you know, eyes to see what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I get that a lot too. And like, sometimes I'll do a podcast, and after the I'll think the podcast went great, and then after the podcast, it'll be like, Trap Gambino, the bad guy. Understood. I'm like, fuck, man. Like I honest to God, I'm not trying to put out like a persona of like a bad person or a bad guy, because I am a father and I'm a family and I'm really not a bad person. But I guess that's just the thing I'm going with now, like the whole villain and, you know, bad guy. Like, it went to a point where I kept saying, like, I'm not a bad guy. Then you just look like a pussy. Now it's to the point where, like, I'm a bad guy. What the fuck are you going to do about it? You know, as soon as I knock that guy out and I say, hey, Dr. Phil, you know, I say some shit about Dr. Phil and I go viral.
Yeah, right?
They're going to, you know, more fights, more money. You know, people are going to want to make documentaries about me because I proved the world wrong. I have a bunch of fucking plans, man. I got people who want to make I can't talk about that, but
it sounded like it was going to be cool.
I'll just say that.
Ah, so I'm going to have to hit you up for a signature shirt. So we'll have to work together on a signature shirt. Yeah, definitely. So some of the other things, like I went into a gym when I got to Vegas, and I had a bad experience. I hated the place. I left, and I didn't go to the gym, to another MMA gym, for almost 2 years.
Was it a popular gym, or?
It was probably before you got there. It was the big tap-out gym. There was a big-ass, beautiful tap-out gym, brand new. I went there, and I had a bad experience. The coaches were dicks in the class. Like, they were talking shit about people in the class while the class was going on. And I was like, fuck this place. Like, I was new, and I knew I didn't know anything, but I just couldn't get into it, so I left. So I get that. Once I found Vandalay's, that was my home. I was there for many years. I met, like, people like Kurt. I met people like Khalil. I met some amazing friends. that I still talk to and we're on different parts of the world. I'm usually in Thailand, and I still keep track of all these people. And when I'm in Thailand, like, Khalil came over to Thailand. He moved over to Thailand. We hung out all the time. It's like, when you beat the shit out of each other, you're friends. You become very good friends, you know? So that goes to, like, so what is the extent of your gym woes? Like, you said you were kicked out of gyms and things like that. So what happened?
So, with the trolling, man, I was actually kicked out of Vanderlei's gym. I kind of started my full MMA training at Vanderlei's gym. That's actually where I learned how to kick. And I don't know if you know who Mike Plott is, but shout out to Mike Plott. He's a vet UFC judge. He like judged in like UFC 8 or something like that. And he trained at Vanderlei's gym. Well, used to train at Vanderlei's gym for years and got all kinds of belts and all that stuff, all kinds of credentials. And he was one of my coaches there too. And so I was trained there for a good 4 months. And then this guy started trolling the gym, telling him that I was like, I would take sparring pictures and put like big, like, quote, like make it look like I'm whooping everybody's ass and nobody's touching me. And I'm just, you know, like what everybody said, like what the trolls say. So right. They were polite about it, but they asked me, like, look, man, can you just not take pictures here? Like, you can train here, you know, because I did pay my sponsor paid 6 months ahead for the 6 months package. They said, you can train here, but please don't post here anymore. Don't tag yourself here anymore and stuff like that. And I kind of took that as, like, if you don't want me here, I'm not going to be here. So, like, mm-hmm. I respectfully just stopped coming. And, like, we left on good terms. Like, I don't have problems with Vanderlei's gym or Leandro or his wife. His wife is the one who approached me or any of those people. But I don't know if they have problems with me because of the trolls and what they say and all these fake profiles. Like, it's to the point where, like, I go to gyms. So, for example, I left 4 hours outside. We drove 4 hours when it was real pandemic time outside of Vegas to Utah to go to this little tiny gym in, like, what was it, Cedar City, Utah. And when I get there, the first thing I hear is there's this super heavyweight that's coming there and he's got a problem with me. And that's the reason he's coming there. And he drove 4 hours from fucking Salt Lake or some shit. And I'm like, oh, great. So he gets there, and, like, he's this big guy with a fucking mohawk and shit. I'm like, oh, great. You know, this is going to go good. And we start to talking and shit, and he's completely cool. I'm completely cool. He sees that I'm a respectful guy. We're fucking working, and he sees that I'm really training, and we're doing technique. And I'm like, dude. And we're sitting down after class, and he's like, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I was a hater. I was really a hater of yours. And this was one of the coaches and everybody. And he was like, dude, I was coming here with some bad intentions. And I was like, yeah, I understand, man. But, like, you know, now people, you know, if they just meet me and they see me, they'll see that this shit is real. And it's not what people say online.
And then, so they asked you to leave Vanderlei's. I understand. I'm actually good friends with Leandro and his wife too.
They didn't want the social media bullshit because they were, in their defense, they were fucking flagging their gym page and posting all kinds of negative reviews. Traps out there. He's threatening people, doing this and that, and like with all kinds of fake profiles. So it took it from like a 5-star review to like a 3-star gym, and like. Mm-hmm. All because of fucking me, you know? And, like, if they just eliminate that problem...
Right.
You know, it's easier for that. So I understand it to a point.
So let me put it to Kurt. Kurt now has a gym that he's building the reputation. You've only had your gym, what, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah.
How would you deal with a situation similar to that?
You know, that it's a real tough situation because... Like, you want a certain portrayal of your gym, you know? Like, you want it like, oh, it's a family gym. You want everybody to come in. And then, you know, like, especially, you know, if you're just starting out, like, it's tough, you know, when people, you know, are, like, bringing your reviews down, especially this day and age, because, like, people don't stop by businesses to see what they're actually like. They just go online to see the reviews, you know. So it is kind of difficult, and, you know, I've dealt with stuff like that before in the past where, like, I basically had to tell people, like, hey, you're saying this about this person that comes to my gym and, you know, like, saying negative things about them and, you know, trying to portray them in a different way than what I know them as. You know what I mean? Like, I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt and, like, you know, like, I just don't trust what other people say about somebody when it's online. Like, to be honest, like, my social media, like, I don't even handle my social media because I think it's all kind of bullshit. Like, most of my social media posts, like, aren't even posted by me. Like, I feel like it's complete bullshit and there's not very many real people even on there. So, like, when people come out and, like, try to tell me something about one of my members, I'm like, no, like, I actually know this person. Like, you probably don't even know them. Like, you just fucking see what they put on, you know, Instagram or TikTok or whatever. So, I try, as much as I can, I just try to stay off there. Like, I understand, like, for marketing purposes that it's important, so I have all the social media, but to be honest, I don't really care for it.
Yeah, Kurt hasn't posted shit since 2015 when we went to Thailand.
Yeah, not a big fan, but I understand it.
There's plenty of stuff from his gym, but on his personal, I think there's, like, one post since 2015.
Yeah.
But I get it, you know, and that makes sense is... a member that you're familiar with, that you know who the person really is, because you can't hide in a gym. We've all been there. You cannot fucking hide who you really are. If you're a pussy, you're not going
to
stay.
If you're
a loudmouth, you're going to get your ass beat because there's somebody bigger. Yes. And, you know, that levels the playing field. So, I mean, I can't speak on that situation, but I do understand as trying to build a business, but I also understand, like Kurt's saying, is he knows you personally.
Right.
That it's like when I was at Vandalay's, when Leandro first came, and we've talked about it, we've had a bunch of our old teammates on, and it was a family. Like when Kurt had a birthday, we had 20 people at the sushi restaurant. Like, and it wasn't really planned. I just make a phone call like, hey, we're going to sushi for Kurt's birthday.
I like that.
That's how we rolled back then. And things happened, and it became a lot more of a business, you know what I mean? So it was one of those things that I see a lot of gyms now, they kind of have to move away from that real, because when I joined Vandalay's and when Kurt joined Vandalay's, it was one fight team.
Yeah.
So we were getting in there scrapping. Like we told stories a bunch of times where you're there and somebody gets knocked the fuck out.
A lot of stories.
Sparring.
Yeah.
Goes, sits down, comes back the next round. Not safe. Not healthy. Right. But that was what Vandalay instilled in us. When Vandalay was there every day, you know, if Vandalay wasn't out of town for a fight, he was in the gym. And that's what we, like, we had to live up to his standards. I rolled with Vandalay. I trained with Vandalay. Vandalay was yelling at, I remember Vandalay yelling at a guy that I was rolling jiu-jitsu with in Portuguese. And I looked at him like, hey, I don't speak Portuguese. And he started laughing. You know, like, it was a different thing back then where now businesses kind of have to be conscious of the same way that you're building your reputation through the social media and you're getting, you can build a career like we were just talking about. Somebody that plays fucking video games can go on Twitch and become a millionaire talking shit while five-year-olds eat that up. And it's like, now is the real world has to kind of take note of what's going on in the fake world. And go, all right, I have to assess, you know, my win-loss, like you were saying, you know, it's a business. If you get rid of one guy, what are you losing?
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck, man, especially because, like, I've worked so hard to, like you said, you've seen my posts, like I'm really not going on there saying I'm a big world beater or anything like that, but... So many people, so many trolls and so many fake profiles and so many fans say that about me that it almost overdrowns, like, what the fuck I'm putting out there to the point where, like, like even like I was telling Dr. Phil, I hate to keep mentioning Dr. Phil, but I was telling Phil,
that's like, legit hype. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, like man, like he was like, why don't you tell people about your weight loss journey and all that stuff? And I'm like, dude, I am. Like the other shit just drowns it out for some reason. And I'm hoping in May, like I told my coaches, like whether it's for Rise FC, whether it's for fucking, like, I don't care, dude. It could be street beefs. I'm going to walk out and find some drunk dude at the bar if I don't find a fucking fight. Like, I'm fighting in May. Like, I'm going to be prepared to fight in May, and I'm going to fight
in May. Where's Rise at? Like, where's that promotion?
So, that's in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Miami, Florida.
So, everybody, like you were just saying is, you know, the bad drowns it out. Like when I was a business owner, and just like Vanderlei had to deal with and Kurt has to deal with, is we can be the fucking best. We can be the best. We can have 5-star fucking reviews. It takes one person to go, that fucking place screwed me over. Right. And it's for whatever reason, that bad travels so much more. It carries so much more weight.
People still think that Floyd Mayweather can't read. You know what I mean?
Like, he can read those dollar bills. I don't give a shit.
He can count. I mean, that's all I know.
He doesn't even have to count. He's got so much money. I tell a story. I've told it a couple times. Is I used to do work for another shop that was near his gym, and I was sitting at a traffic light, and I'm like, "Fuck!" There's a Bugatti behind me, and it was right before the Pacquiao fight. And he goes, and I look, I'm like, "So fuck another Bugatti behind that." And it was him driving one, hidden driving his black and red one, and then another one of his homies driving the white one, and then they had the money team sprinter behind that. I was like, this guy.
So a funny story about Floyd is I actually, when I first came to Vegas, it was right when the Conor McGregor versus Mayweather fight was happening. And I actually trained at the Mayweather gym mistakenly during that fucking time, and I paid way too much to train there, and I swear to God, it was like I'm not hating on the coaches or anything at the Mayweather gym. It's a beautiful gym, but that was the worst fucking time to train there. Everybody and their mom could just walk in, fucking like sit there, take Instagram pictures, hit the bag, and I'm like, how's it? Like, and you literally had to wait in line for a bag, and while you're waiting in line, people are trying to sell you, like, fucking body cream and all that shit. But a funny story is I trained beside Mayweather once on the bag, and I figured, like, oh, man, I'm going to have to keep up with him. This dude was, like, he'd do, like, 30 seconds on the bag, sit down, have some hot-ass girl come over, wipe his head down with his towel, take some pictures, go up, do more 30 seconds on the bag. I was like, man, this guy is living the life.
Yeah, he's got it made. I mean, everybody's, like, hating on him, and I'm like, he's that successful. Like, and he built the bad guy persona. Like, oh, yeah, fuck me. I can't count. I can't count this bag full of money. How much you getting paid for your MMA fight? Fuck that. I pissed that away flying to fucking Paris.
That's, you know, what, like, man, that's what I'm trying to get to.
And that's the thing, though, is like he took that and embraced it. Kind of like where you're transitioning now. You're kind of like, I'm the bad guy, I'm the bad guy, I'm the bad guy. Well, fuck it, I'm the bad guy. You know?
I started really making a lot of money from that persona until I started being the bad guy. Yeah. So now it's being pretty lucrative for me. So, you know, thanks to the haters, I guess.
I mean, like I said, you know, if somebody's hating, you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's what it's telling me. It just sucks, man. It's one of those where it's like, you know, it's a hard price to pay.
You got to have thick skin, unfortunately. You really, you have to, like you said, when initially it happened, you bought into it. And I'm not the type of person, like, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. But if all of a sudden everybody was like, yo, your coaching sucks, your website sucks, your podcast sucks, you're a fucking bitch, you won't do this, it would affect me. Right. Like, I would be like, yo.
Little dude, that I'm, like, the most self-conscious motherfucker in the world as it is. So, like, when somebody says something about me, I'm already thinking that that's true before they even say it. So, like,
yeah, and I could, like, get that, you know.
Bad shit in my head, so.
And that's the thing. And that's unfortunate, what the byproduct of being able to speak your mind freely and the state of America these days. You can't say shit. I saw a post that I'm not going to comment on that you just posted that was 100% factual. That, I mean, that you can't talk about it. Why? Like, that's just, you could say that Trap Gambino's fat and he's got no talent, and that's okay. But you can't speak the truth about something that's really fucked up. But what you just said is really fucked up.
Oh, is it like a random accusation or something? Something like that, or?
Oh, what you just posted.
Oh, what I just posted?
Yeah, that I'm not commenting on.
What'd you just post? I didn't see
it. I'll have to send it to Kurt. It was about current events. Oh. It was about current events. Something that had just gone down. Again,
Was it about the rise?
The what?
The Rye shooting?
Yeah.
yeah, that's crazy.
That's but crazy. It's some of those things, you know, like we can't talk about real life bad shit. We can't work on getting past all these things that are dividing us now. It's easier for someone to tell you that you can't be a fighter than for somebody to go, yeah, man, you can be anybody can be a fucking fighter. Put the work in. You know, what's that?
I find all this like a little like kind of funny because like when you deal with people like in real life, I feel like you don't get any of this bullshit. Like people aren't as divided as you think they are. But when you go on the internet and you're looking around, you're like, man, everybody's divided. But man, in my house, in my gym, it's like everybody pretty much has like they all use common sense. It's like there's a lot more people using common sense. It's just unfortunate because they're not the ones you know pumping out the content.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing, man. Like I have a lot of fans too, but everybody thinks that like all my fans are just these bully haters on the internet, and you know I feel like that they're just more vocal. They're just the more vocal ones. They're the ones that's on the comments because, you know, the fans, the ones who have, like, positivity in their life, they're too busy, you know, working a fucking job. Or they're too busy, you know, hustling. Or, you know, they're not on welfare and sitting home all day on their computers. And it's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the haters are. Like I said, when I looked, to kind of get an idea. Yeah.
I feel like have to have time on their hands because I don't know, man. Like, who the hell can have that much time on their hands? If they dedicated that much time into like,
anything else,
like that makes money, they'd be fucking billionaires. I swear.
It's like when Kurt and I started this podcast. We both talked about it, like what avenue we're gonna go, and I told him I was like, we just gotta put out positive shit. Like like when you canceled the first time, I told Kurt, I'm like, eh. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, it doesn't fit our platform, really. And I kind of was like, all right, maybe you were just over it. Maybe that wasn't good for you. And I'm like, oh, it's cool. You know, I'm not going to call you out and be like, yo, fucking Trap his dick. You know what I mean? That guy blew me off.
Or, you know, honestly, if it makes you feel better, you guys weren't the only ones. There was like five of them that I just like. It was like right after the Dr. Phil show and everything was just getting on me at once. And, you know, my wife's fucking full term pregnant. And I was just like, man, I just need to relax for like a week before I do any media or anything like that. Yeah. But, you know, now I'm at it again. And I apologize.
No, it's all good. I totally get it. We have people cancel all the time. And again, so when you hit me up last night, I was like, all right, let me kind of see where this is going to go because I didn't want to have you on here and have it be a Trap Gambino show. That's not what we put out. We want to know real people. We want to know your real story. Is there a real struggle? Yeah, you got people talking shit about you 24/7. That's not cool. That's not cool whatsoever. You know, in Thailand, you can't do that. You cannot talk shit online. It's illegal. Like, you start doing that and you get in trouble. You could go to jail for that shit.
But then I feel like it would be better if everybody just had their like their profiles connected to like their real IDs or something like that.
Yeah. A lot of really bad things happening. Or the people will stop talking shit, you know?
But, you know, they would be held accountable for what they're doing to people and their lives. And, like I'll wake up and I'll see them talking about my kids and stuff and, like, calling my kids the R word and, like, saying they're mentally handicapped and, like...
Even if they were, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, well, that my kids are healthy, but, like, it's just crazy. Like, the things that these guys go, like, if it's not me that pisses me off, if it's not me being fat and stupid, all that stuff that pisses me off, it's my wife. If it's not my wife, it's my kids. They'll just keep going until something gets me.
And, I mean, it's horrible. Like Kurt said, I know who handles Kurt's social media as far detached from what's going on here. and if I put, like, I've told people a million times that I don't put my emotions out on social media. Like, right. If I'm having a bad, I don't even tell somebody if I'm having a bad day, because when you can't put that on social media, because people are like, oh, yeah, oh, you're having a bad day. I'm here for you. Or, oh, you're having a bad day. It's like, yeah, yeah, exactly. What are you whining about? You got to do this, and you've done this, and it's like, it's all judgment, you know. And right. We're human; we can't take all that judgment.
Yeah,
you know, and it wears on us. And I'm glad that you're getting to a point where you're like, I'll embrace it, because that's going to give you the power. Once you start taking the power away from people that are doing the negative shit, and they're like, oh, you're fat, yeah, so what? I'm going to lose weight.
Right.
What? Oh, yeah. You're not a fighter. I'm gonna make that walk. Are you? All right.
That's kind of what it is. But at this point, I'm over fucking talking. Like, I've been talking for a long time, and I'm sick of fucking talking, man. And I'm just, even to the point where, like, my friends are around, we start talking about fighting. I'm like, guys, I want to fight. Like, I'm sick of fucking, oh, I'm going to go in there and do this. When I fight, I'm going to do this. Fuck that. I just want to get in there and fucking do it, man. I'm so ready to fucking fight. Like, I feel like mentally I've been ready to fight for a while. Like, technically, mentally, I've been ready to fight for a while. Now I'm physically finally getting there.
Yeah. And I saw somebody make a comment about your first jiu-jitsu tournament, and, like, you were gassed in 30 seconds. Now, I'm going to tell you what. My first jiu-jitsu tournament, I was ready to go.
Yeah.
I got through that first 3 minutes or whatever the amateur round were, the novice or whatever it was. I thought I was going to fucking die. And I was in the best shape of my life. I couldn't lift my arms. There's a picture of me sitting on the floor, and I look like I'm about to die. That adrenaline dump, nobody can get ready for that. You could talk as much shit as you want, but you don't understand what it's really like.
See, like, first of all, it wasn't 30 seconds. I was before I got on the fucking mats, dude. Like, I don't know why, but, like, that whole day. So I did one. That wasn't my first tournament, actually. That was my second tournament. And my first tournament, I actually lost in 30 seconds. And I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I just jumped in there and, you know, just said, fuck it, I'm going to do it, and tried to show that I had some balls. And I lost real quick. And then the second tournament, I actually did have some training, and I had a team behind me and everything. But to be honest, I was training more for an MMA fight than I was for a grappling match, and it's so fucking different. And but that's no excuse, man. I could have done a lot better than I did. And I just wasn't nervous that day or anything. I don't know if I was just putting it off in my head. Like, I just, like, I was so scared. I just didn't want to do it or something. But I was just, everybody was like, hey, man, you ready? And I was putting on headphones, trying to listen to music, pump myself up. I just wasn't feeling it, man. Mm-hmm. So the moment they called my name, and as soon as they called my name, like, I started breathing heavy. I started having, like, a panic attack. So I step on the mats having a panic attack. And I lasted a good, like, I don't know, like, fucking, like, we was in a collar tie or something like that. And mm-hmm. I don't know takedowns.
Yeah.
He really didn't. Like, he knew takedowns, but I'm short. I'm wide. I'm hard to take down. I'm pretty strong. And he just couldn't take me down. So we're just fucking in a standstill. Like, just it's way harder than it looks, man. And we were both gassed. And it came to a point where I was just, like, sick of, like, I won't say not fighting, but just sick of not knowing what the fuck to do in that situation. And I did. I just kind of gave up and was like, fuck that. Here, yeah, I'll try to pull like a shitty half guard. Oh, look, it's side control. Oh, fuck, you got me. Okay, good. I'm done. Fuck that. You got me. I'm gassed. You know,
I had competed so many times at the highest level of tournaments, and I walked out at a tournament, and I don't remember which one it was, and I stepped on the mat, and I got dizzy. I'm like, am I going to pass out before the fucking match? Like, I looked down at the mat, and I was just like, I just had to, like...
Another thing was for me is, like, that was the first tournament, nobody knew who the fuck I was. The second tournament, fucking everybody knew who I was, to the point where at the moment I stepped off the mats, there's fucking like memes and shit of me being tapped out, videos, like live videos and all kinds of shit. And like, I was like, I was just so embarrassed. And like, and of course it was against like a younger kid who was like 19, 20 years old, and he was a big kid, but you know, I'm 30. I got some training behind me. I got a legit team behind me. I'm supposed to go in there and whoop this kid's ass. Everybody knows who I am. And I think the clout just got too much to my head. Like, not that I thought that I was better than I was, because I knew what I had. The problem is I just didn't do what I had. Like, in the gym, I smashed some people. Like, I don't smash everybody, but I smashed people. His level, he was like barely a blue belt. And, you know, I do pretty good against those guys in the gym. And I just didn't show any of that in on the mats. And, you know, hopefully next time I will. You know, yeah, I guess more competing, the more better I'll do. So my coach's plan, Shonuff, plans to take me to Texas and do some shit soon. So we're working on it, man. We're definitely working on it.
One more quick thing is, like, who's that coach that you had on Dr. Phil show? Who was that coach? Your coach, not their coach, your coach. I don't know that guy. I don't know that gym. Like, I don't know where that, I don't know him.
Kurt, so you want his name?
Yeah, because Kurt might know him.
Okay, his name is Phil Dunlap.
So he has a gym in Vegas?
He doesn't have a gym in Vegas. He has a fight team that he kind of, like, he kind of takes to certain gyms, like, whatever, you know, he works with certain gyms and trains them at the okay. gym. So
I'm not discrediting him. I just don't know him. I don't know who he is. And like, he came out and said that you were a good guy and some things had transpired that he wasn't cool with. Now, right. did you make that comment about the fighter?
Absolutely. Nick Newell. So the thing about Nick Newell, they also cut this out of the Dr. Phil show, is we actually have a history.
Okay.
My wife used to...
He trains up here.
Oh, that's interesting. Used to spar on Fremont Street. She used to spar people on Fremont Street. And Nick Newell... along with like Nick Diaz and Dana White and a lot of people, fighters have came up to her, and you know, because a lot of fighters walk through Fremont Street, they see some girl boxing, they're like, what the fuck is this? So they approach her, and Nick asked to put on the gloves, you know, just to move around with her, because that's what she does. And Ashley is naive about the fight game. She doesn't watch fights. She had no fucking clue who Nick is. So she was like, hey, like, I don't want to do it because you got one arm. Like, you know, I don't, you know, no offense, but you're handicapped. Like, something bad could happen.
Right.
And I think he just took that the wrong way. And he went on Twitter and made some tweets about Ashley. And because of that, I made some tweets about him.
Okay.
And we kind of went back and forth. You know, we talked. He said, I got titties. I said, he got no arm. You know, like, we talk shit to each other. And then that comment got brought up to Phil, and he just that was like the breaking point, really, I guess.
And so. And that's the thing, is like, because before you just tell me this situation, I get that one snippet, and I'm like, yo, that was a dick move. But
it's still
it is to a point, because but
that, like, for sure. And I know I was wrong for that, but, like, I want people to know, like, it didn't come from, like, no base. Like, it came from anger because he was talking about my wife. Like, that's honestly where it came from. And I got, you know, family with disabilities and stuff like that. And, like, I honestly think it's fucking amazing what Nick has accomplished for what the fuck, like, he's doing. And, like, I have nothing but respect for him, like, an athlete and all that stuff. We just had some beef. And, like, you know, people, grown men have beef all the time. And I just don't understand why that had anything to do with Phil, you know?
Right. Yeah. And like I said, I mean, again, going back to, like, Kurt owning a gym, if somebody was to say, you know, come into the gym and be like, Kurt, you're team member, you know, and this wasn't what you did, but you made a racist comment to somebody on social media. And now Kurt has to address that and weigh the options.
You know, ironically, somebody has approached Phil with something like that before, and he took that guy's side. This is the thing about Phil, is he's not very consistent. And because I hate to throw people under the bus here, man, but fuck it. You know, he's thrown me under the bus so many times. So to keep it real with you, he's kicked plenty of people out the gym because they train with me. Just because they train with me. And it's got to the point where he's kicked some people out, and these people will get mad and they'll go on social media talking shit about me, leaking my address, and literally crying on social media, screaming camera, talking about they're coming whoop my ass. I've had this guy bring cops to my house saying that I was going to shoot him with a gun, and so now I got this weird case pending and all that. It's just, that guy has caused a lot of shit in my life, and I won't say it's because of him, like, initially, but I feel like the trolls just eventually got to him, man. And I feel like he kind of used that Nick situation as, like, that's a good one to use that I can, you know. So he kind of made that public, and, you know, with that, everybody turned against me. But the people who I was actually training with, like, I was training under Phil, but I wasn't really training with him. The people that I was actually training with, the people that was rolling with me, holding mitts with me, all that stuff, they're still with me, and they're still training with me to this day.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, when the comment was thrown out, I was like, what the fuck? But there's no context. Right. And that, again, goes back to social media, is we can all voice our immediate opinion. And then if they throw that comment out about you, you're going to catch flack for it, especially these days, you know, and you don't get to defend yourself anymore.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Move, man. It was a dumb move. You know, it's something I can't, you know, I can't take back. But
it's the past, and you acknowledge that it was wrong. What else can you do?
Yeah,
it was, like I said,
asshole or something like that. You know, that would have looked a lot.
But he's at the same time taking shots at you physically.
That's kind of what I felt, but, you know, I can get rid of titties. He can't grow an arm, you know?
I get it. And I'm not trying to defend what you did, because you're not defending what you did. But I'm saying, like, I get that what transpired. I understand now. Right. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I just saw one snippet of a really shitty comment to somebody that's handicapped who's excelled in professional martial arts. And then you're like, yeah, but... Do you understand what happened? And I didn't, so that's why I asked. Like, there's more to every story. You know, there's three sides to every story.
I don't know how much time you guys have. Do you guys got enough time for me to clear up one more thing?
You got to go, Kurt, or you? I'm good.
I got like 10 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll make it quick. So there was another thing about the Dr. Phil show about a female fighter that I bullied. Okay. That female fighter is the one who started a lot of these rumors about me. I don't want to say too much because I don't know too much, but I'll just tell you that female fighter is arrested right now for murder. And she's a really bad person, and it just came out that she's a really bad person. And everybody's now seeing all these lies that she said about me is real. And one of the girls that I got in trouble with at my gym, Jenny Savage, was talking, you know, bad about my kids and all that stuff, and I was talking bad about her, and we apologized to each other, so we don't have issues either, and they didn't say that on the Dr. Phil show. And you know, I just wanted to clear that up, that a lot of these people I had issues with, I don't have issues with anymore. And I honestly really don't feel like, in my heart, I don't have beef with anybody. If anybody has beef with me, you know, I guess that's their problem, man.
Well, if you have beef with someone and hide behind a private profile, you don't have beef with them. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah, that's another annoying thing, man. Like, they talk shit about me, and I don't know how to talk shit back because
of profile. Like, yeah, you can't see anything about my life except one weird picture, and I'll talk shit about all the stuff you have out
it's
there.
It's usually like a picture of my face, like in photo, with like a dick in my mouth or something. Like.
So I mean, have you? So you left Vandalay's and. It sound like, so when they hype these things up, they make it sound like you've been kicked out of every gym in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, was there other experiences where you've had to leave other gyms, or they've asked you to leave other gyms?
Absolutely not. No, I've been a lot of gyms in Vegas. Mayweather's gyms, I trained at Mayweather's. A lot of these random, you know, jiu-jitsu fight gyms, there's a fucking hole in the wall everywhere. Pound for pound boxing, I trained there for a while. I still train there. Yeah, man, Vegas is so many. And even if I was kicked out of a lot of gyms in Vegas, there's so many damn options. There's so many gyms popping up everywhere. It's not that I'm kicked out of every gym in Vegas. It's that I probably have somebody who doesn't like me in every gym in Vegas. And that's real. Like, for example, like my homies are going to Extreme Couture later on, I think today or some shit, and I can't go because there's this girl there who doesn't like me. You know what I mean? And like, it's not like I can't go. I don't want to cause all that shit. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be hitting the bag. Somebody fuck with me from behind. I don't want any in my life. So I'd rather just go, you know, and train at a gym that I know nobody's going to be at, or, you know, train with my coaches private on the side. And I got this big monster over here that beats me up all the time. So I'm training with him, and he's super heavyweight. He's got fights behind him, and he's going to fight soon. And I got good training with me, man.
That's good. I mean, like I said, I had a feeling, obviously, and again, I based it off just your first response when I messaged you. You're like, hey, that's for this, you know, that's the persona I have to put out. And I get it. You know, like I said, I lived in Vegas. I understand that the 23-year-old that's driving the Mercedes also lives in a condo with five other dudes.
Right.
So he could drive a Mercedes. Like, I get it. I know how Vegas works. And then, like I said, when Dr. Phil is talking all this shit, I'm like, do you know, like, we used to do work for the limo people, and they would send limos to get our friends from the airport.
Yeah, like, not to be rich, Brian.
It's complimentary.
Yeah, like he was showing me. He was like, "You're flashing money," and it's literally a picture of me like flashing like $100 and ones. Like that's not rich shit, dude. Like that.
It was like, I don't think there was any validation to what any of the stuff he was saying, and. Like, the guy calling you out to do push-ups on a fucking stage, I would have told him to go fuck himself, even if I could do 100 push-ups. This guy the guy obviously was in shape, he looked like he was in shape, and he's like, can you do 10 push-ups? I'd be like, can you go fuck yourself?
You know, my response was supposed to be a joke, because I didn't think, like, he caught me off guard with that. I didn't think that he was going to try to fat-shame me in the fucking middle of national television. I could make it up to like 5. I could easily do 10 fucking push-ups, dude. Like,
it was just a dick move.
Exactly. And I was thinking, like, man, like, it's just funny, man. That guy's an idiot. But I didn't like that guy. That's why I treated
him. I would have wanted to fight him after that.
Yeah, I kind of did. Like,
like, if somebody seriously wants to tell you that they're going to help you, and then the first shit out of their mouth is like, so you want to be a fighter? Can you do 10 push-ups?
Yeah, like, don't embarrass me in front of everybody
on national TV. You're gonna say that?
That's why when we were talking in the back, I was like, "Look, man, you did a good job. You know, basically, fuck out of my face." And you got about that. So
I saw that, and like when he said that, I'm like, "What the fuck?" Like, that's just a weird... And exactly, it was like trying to fat shame you. And I'm like, and not even that, it's kind of like call you out, no matter what. Like I said, if you were jacked, and he's like, can you at least do 10 push-ups? I'm like, nah.
Yeah, like, what am I on the stage and do 10 fucking push-ups like a bitch? Like,
am I, yeah, exactly. Am I your bitch? Are you calling me out at the schoolyard? Like, what is this shit? So,
you know what I planned on doing? I planned on, when I win that fight, I'm going to say some shit about Dr. Phil, and I'm going to go viral. You know it's going to go viral. And after that, they're going to invite me back, and the first fucking thing I'm going to do is like 30 push-ups on the goddamn thing.
Your victory should be 10 push-ups every time you win.
I should be like, Dr. Phil, watch this.
Right next to the guy you knock out. You look like a dick. You become the heel.
That's hilarious. Yeah, whoever I fight, man, that's another thing. It's definitely going to be respect afterwards. I don't know what's going to happen in the build up, but afterwards, it's all respect. You know,
you seem like you're on the right track. You're training with people that are actual fighters, that are actually trainers. You, like I said before, you can't bullshit your way through that. You're going to get humbled, or you're going to leave. So to take that path, there's very few assholes that get through that. There's very, very few. Kurt trains guys every day. He trains fighters. I've trained fighters. I've cornered guys. And you know that they're good people when you go. When you go with them. If I'm going to walk with you, I'm walking with you if you need me to get in the cage with you. Do you know what I mean? So the people that you have around you, they know that you're a good guy. They know that you're doing it for the right reason. You know, whatever the persona that you have to put on to get the opportunities, that's just life these days. I get it. I mean, most people, when they watch this, they're gonna understand that. You don't come off as Trap Gambino as the name sounds. Do you know what I mean? Like, sitting here with a fucking cigar with a mountain of coke. Yeah, I'm gonna fight. You know, like, that's not what I see you coming off as. And I appreciate that. And that's exactly what I was hoping we would get out of this. It's very...
Definitely not.
What's that?
I said, yeah, that guy's definitely not me.
and that's cool. But even if that's that guy on the music videos.
Old, rich, and retired, that'll be me. Yeah.
Hey, whatever works. But like, if that's the persona, I get it. You know, if you were Trap Scarface Gambino and you had chicks walking in with cases of fake cocaine, whatever. Whatever that works.
That might happen.
See, you know what I mean, though? That whatever works. I get it. You need a gimmick to stand out because, like you just said, there's a fucking MMA gym in every hole in the wall anywhere. And you need something to stand out. The hard work, those guys get left behind all the time. CM Punk worked his ass off in the WWE and couldn't do shit in pro fighting. But he got paid bank right off the bat. He only needed that one or two fights because he was getting millions of dollars. You know, like, you have to have something. You have to be able to provide something because there's a million really good guys. What do they have that a promotion is going to sell a ticket to?
Yeah, everybody's talented, especially nowadays. Everybody's talented. There's so many people that I feel like that's a lot where I get the hate, too, is there's a lot more people that are way more talented that have done way more than me, but I have way more followers, you know, way more clout or whatever. And I definitely understand that, man, but that's just the fucking world that we're in, I guess, nowadays.
It is. And people like you, you have to be able to market it. You have to be able to either you go one path or the other. And if you go the path where you need to market yourself, you have to do it. It's such an extreme where you make it work. You have to stand out. You know, it's not. There's the elite level athletes were Matt Hughes, like those, that tier of, you know, St. Pierre. Try and market those guys now without that name attached to them. They're amazing athletes, but they're not going to get the recognition of bringing fucking Brock Lesnar in.
Right.
It's just not the same thing. So what you're doing, man, fucking do it. Don't listen to the haters. Keep doing what the fuck you're doing. Keep staying around positive people. Put out as much positive shit as you can, and just keep being you, man. I mean, it's all it is.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate that.
Trap, honestly, we're going to bounce. So, dude, it's been awesome having you. I truly appreciate it. It's been great. And any shout outs or any sponsors or anything like that you got to put out there?
Sure. Shout out to my wife because she's about to have our baby boy. She was saying that last night on our way home, she was saying that she was feeling like she's dropping. So it's any time I'll have my first baby boy. So shout out to the mob wife. And, you know, shout out to Shona for linking us up.
Definitely.
And, yeah, man, just look for my fight in May. That's when all the questions will be answered. Whether I win or lose, we'll see how real it is.
There you go. All right, Trap Man, it's been awesome. Congratulations on the new baby. And stay safe out there and don't listen to the bullshit.
I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right, man. Thanks, have a man. Good one.
Bye.
Thank you once again for listening to the number one combat sports podcast, the Fight Chase Muay Thai and MMA podcast. You can follow us on Fight Chase on all the social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. And also, don't forget you can support us at any time going to the anchor.fm/fightchase, hit the support icon, and you can support us for as little as 99 cents a month. We truly appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And Kurt, don't say boom.
Boom.
Hey guys, Kelly from Fight Chase. So today what I want to talk to you guys about is Project 52. Project 52 is a new project that I'm going to embark on, hopefully July, August type of time when I get back over to Thailand. So most of you have known, I left Las Vegas, came to New Hampshire, and then was basically living in Thailand. Came back for some visa stuff to the States and COVID hit. So now here we are over a year later, and we're just waiting for the travel restrictions and things like that to kind of ease back so I can get back to Thailand. But today we're talking about Project 52. Project 52 is something that I have dreamt up that I want to do, and I want to do with all of you. And what it is there's 52 weeks in a year, and I'm going to visit 52 gyms in 1 year. So what I'm going to do is one gym a week for 1 year. These are 52 different locations all over Thailand. I want to go up north. I want to visit some gyms that people may have never heard of. There's so many gyms that people have never heard of. So I want to I'll bring you to the big gyms. I'll bring you to the small gyms, gyms that maybe no one's ever seen. I'll just do these research and find these gyms and bring you guys to that. So this is a project that obviously I can't do on my own, as far as I'm going to be doing all the recording, all the editing, all of the research, scheduling, traveling, all of this on my own. The only thing that I'm going to need you guys to do, other than enjoy all the content, is the financial part. And if I had the money, honestly, I would just do it on my own. So I've set up a few different things that if somebody wants to help back this and kind of join in on the journey, is we have t-shirts. T-shirts really don't do much as far as put too much in the money. If you buy a t-shirt, I believe I make probably $5, but that $5 is appreciated. It'll go right into the fund for the project. While I'm doing this whole project, I'll be doing writing an ebook on the travel, on the experience, and probably on maybe all the gyms and then section them. I'm not sure exactly how that's gonna go. So again, that'll be one of the products that's gonna come out of this. I'm going to be doing I'm looking over here, I apologize, it's where my notes are. going to be doing a video of the training from each gym, just like I do now, but this is 52 gyms weekly content will be put up. So if I go to a new gym, you'll have a new video of the gym, kind of a tour of the gym. You'll have a new video of the training at the gym. You'll have more artistic line photos with my nice DSLR. I'm going to take photos of each location. You've seen some of the gyms that I've done, and I did it at Some Arts Gym. I did it at 13 Coins. I've done some at Fairtex, like real nice high resolution, kind of more artsy type photos that people can enjoy, like Instagram looking photos. So you'll have a weekly journey recap. So it'll be me talking about how I got to these places. If you ever travel around Southeast Asia, you sometimes will get into cabs or a bus or a specific kind of vehicle to get somewhere that's not really known to other people. So it's part of the journey. I rode a bus in Cambodia that had no seats. They had bunks, and it was like an overnight bus. And after I rode it, everyone was like, "Oh, that's super dangerous." And I'm like, "What?" It wasn't very comfortable either. So, like I said, we have the shirts. They're available through fightchase.com, shop, and it's Project 52 shirts. Obviously, any of the other shirts there, they also will benefit this project because this is where all my money's going to go. I'm going to be doing a Patreon. It's already set up. So the Patreon, you have different levels of support, anywhere from $10 up to... And it's a monthly subscription, so you'd be paying, you know, that amount of money going towards the project monthly. I also want to do a GoFundMe, kind of to get the project known, and you'll be able to donate there at like a one-time thing. The Patreon is an overtime thing, and there's different tiers, and the different tiers give you different things, like... There's a tier that you'll get a t-shirt. There's a tier that your name will be in the credits of all the videos. There's a tier that you're the main sponsor. Then you're basically, your brand company and or if it was an individual person would be marketed alongside of Fight Chase as the journey would be brought to you by them. I kind of think of it similar as like if an athlete was sponsored by Nike, you know, they're their main sponsor and that's who's giving them the financial backing to embark on their journey. So that's kind of the financial steps as far as I have figured out so far. All of these will be set up. Like I said, the Patreon set up. We have Venmo and all that stuff. So if you get it, you just wanted to kind of donate a few bucks or something like that, that you could send that over to me, and you know, it goes directly to this fund. This fund isn't going to be used to anything else other than making this 52 gyms in 1 year, 52 weeks, a success. Another thing that we'll be doing as we as a me, but if you help donate, you're part of this project. You're going to embark on this experience with me. You could even dictate kind of where you want to see next. In a certain region, if you heard of a certain gym, hey, can you try this? Another thing that I want to do, I have a lot of friends now. I have a lot of friends in the industry. I have a lot of fighter friends. I have a lot of friends that go on vacation to Thailand. They're like, oh, I'm going to go for the Muay Thai holiday. Great. Hit me up. You can become part of this project. You will be with me. I'll take you to a gym. We'll record the whole thing. You'll be a special guest. I'm going to have some of my friends that are there, athletes, fighters, and things like that, join me on these things. So you'll have a different point of view. You can have me as a trainer from the States, as a enthusiast, my point of view of the gym. And then you can have, in the same episode, a UFC athlete, their point of view of the gym. So it's going to be kind of like a whole series. I mean, this is 52 weeks. 52 weeks is more than most of your TV shows will put out episodes weekly. That we'll be putting this content out. Along with your help. So, I'm trying to, anything else, I apologize. I'm just trying to speak and let you guys know exactly what I'm trying to do. So you've seen a couple of posts that I've had up about Project 52. This is Project 52. Me, back in Thailand, 52 gyms, 52 weeks. Okay? 1 year of training. That's it. Now, you get to watch it. You get to have a say on where we go. You get to enjoy the experience. You get to see the ups and downs. There's going to be possibly injuries and sicknesses, or who knows? You know, it's a crazy adventure. All of this will be put out in video content weekly. And, you know, this is something that I like to do. The reason I started Fight Chase is to get people to understand that getting over to like Thailand or wherever your ideal destination is, it's not that hard. When we talk about Thailand, like on the podcast, so I started Fight Chase after a few trips over to Thailand, and Fight Chase was fightchase.com. If you've gone there, that's just my gym reviews, product reviews, where I came from. It's kind of like the epicenter of Fight Chase. And then I started the brand. So we had Fight Chase Shop. So that's just where you can get merchandise like this. Ooh, if you know this logo, shame on you. That's okay. I know it too. And all sorts of different, like, cool martial arts type of shirts and things like that. I have hoodies. And these are all designed by me. I come up with the designs. I figure them out. I learned Photoshop. Same as I've learned all my editing for doing the YouTube channel. Learned how to edit all the videos. And that's gone over to the podcast. We've had amazing guests on the podcast. If you haven't listened to the Fight Chase podcast, check that out. We've had John Wayne Parr, Khalil Roundtree Jr. We have so many episodes that I haven't even put out yet that are amazing fighters. And I have DJ Jackson. I have, Mark Matthews from Ink Master. I have, Savas Michael from One Championship. We have so many people coming up, and we've had so many amazing episodes that are already out. So check those out. But I learned how now we're putting out videos with those, okay? So I've learned that aspect of it. And what I do with all this is I just want to give you information to help you maybe take a step to make a journey to see that we need to be out, we need to experience things, we need to meet new people, experience cultures, travel. Like, we're not made just to do the 9-to-5 and be stuck in your house like we have been. So they couldn't think of a better time to really go for this ambitious project. Is as soon as I'm able to travel, to be out of this situation again and back into where I'm the happiest in Thailand, I want to bring all of you with me. I want to bring everyone with me. If you don't even help support this financially, please just join the journey. But this video is just me trying to show you the passion that I have, explain the journey, what we're going to have to do to make it happen. Got to make some money, unfortunately. But people get money to play video games on TV. So I was hoping that we can make this get rolling. I have a few businesses that are looking to come on board. I mean, I've always had great hope product-wise with like Defense Soap and a few other brands that have kind of given me product support. So this is going to be a big thing. That it's going to be a financial thing. All of my money is going to go to it for the next year to make it happen. And, you know, that's what it is. Project 52, guys. Let's get it happening. If you come to Thailand, you're part of the show. If you're at home, you're enjoying the show. So thanks, you guys, for listening. Hope you understand how much this means to me. And let's make it happen. Have a great day.